If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and I go to it quite frequently. And I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3 this morning. I want to talk to you about a message that I titled, Confidently Crossing the River of Uncertainty. Confidently crossing the river of uncertainty. I once was asked to preach years ago in a black church near here, a New Year's Eve service, and my portion began about 2 o'clock in the morning. But my message was entitled "On the Other Side of Midnight." Tonight, the clock is going to tick for the final time of 2023. And we're going to be on the other side of midnight. What's on the other side of midnight for you? What's on the other side of midnight for this church, for me? Well, we can anticipate that with joy, knowing again that if we are saved, if we are Christians, that God knows what's there. And we don't have to fear that, because if we've allowed God to lead us step by step as our shepherd, then we don't have to fear anything that's on the other side of midnight. Or that means we can confidently cross this river of uncertainty. One of the greatest selling business books in America is a book by Jim Collins. And it's entitled, Make the Leap and Others Don't Make. Make the Leap That Others Don't Make. And it is in the book, he said one of the important factors our team found, was that companies that were content to be simply good never achieved greatness. In that respect, the good becomes the enemy of the great. How many people today do we have, Christians, that are okay with just being okay with God? Okay that we know where we're going to go. No matter what happens in the coming year or the years after that, we know where we're going to be. But I want to ask you this morning, are you satisfied with being comfortable? Or do you want to be what God really created you and me to be? Are we satisfied as a church where we are? I don't think any of us are. And I think there are some great plans for Pine Drive in the coming years. And so I want us to see that we can confidently cross this river of uncertainty, because we don't know what's on the other side. Jim Collins said, in Good to Great, again, he said, this is one of the reasons why companies that should be at the top, they never achieve, because they're okay with where they are. Somewhere between the top, the mediocre, and the bottom of the ladder. You know, to give you a background here, as we take a look at Joshua chapter 3, the nation of Israel had been in the desert for 40 years. Very familiar story. We know that. They've been there for 40 years. And the first generation that came out of Egypt, they were disobedient to God over and over again. And finally, God said, not a one of you, except a couple of you, are going into the promised land. Maybe 2024 is a promised land for you. Maybe it's a promised land for me. Maybe God wants to do something to fulfill the promise that he has for our life. Well, if that's the case, then there are certain things that we need to do. God will do when he sees us do, when he sees us trusting him. And so, because of the flood, this nation was at the nation of Israel, the second generation, was right there at the Jordan River. And that river was flooded. It was that time of year when it was flooded. And in fact, it was more than flooded. The Jordan River was raging at this point. in time and in this point where they were going to cross into the promised land and fulfill the promise that God had for them. And there's times that I think of that first priest that stepped into the water there. That first priest that God said, with these raging waters, step into that water. And I could imagine, it's not in the Bible, but I can just imagine what he was thinking. He was having, I'm sure he was having a crisis of belief. You ever have a crisis of belief? I think we all have at one point or another. And he's sitting there saying, should I stand in that raging water and take that step? Or should I just stand here on the bank where it's safe? Well, we know what happened. We know that that one priest stepped into the water. And that raging water just stopped. And the nation of Israel was able to cross. Well, let me read this portion, just a portion of this passage out of Joshua chapter 3. It's a rather long chapter, but I want to deal with just a portion of it. And in verse 1, Joshua says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, and he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. And there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priest, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people." Now go down to verse 14. "So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood, and they rose up in a heap very far away, at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over." Verse 17, "Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over Jordan." Sounds very similar to what happened 40 years before that, when they were coming out of Egypt with the Egyptian army, all the forces coming after them, and they were trapped. They were there. And there was a sea in front of them, and there was the Egyptian army behind them. And they were at a point of uncertainty. In fact, some of them started complaining. "Why did you bring us out? Why are you leading us here?" Well, in many ways, this passage has to do not only with Joshua, not only with the nation of Israel that's in a battle, as I mentioned in my prayer right now, but in many ways, God's Word, active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword, has a message for where you are today and where I am today. And so I want us to take a look at this. You know, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for Christians that have grown content to live in the wilderness. They're just content, as I mentioned, to live in the wilderness. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know the Holy Spirit is living in me. But you know what's sad about that? They're right on the border of blessing. Just as the nation of Israel were right on the border of blessing. Now your parents, your grandparents, and all those people from first generation refused to cross. They refuse to obey me. But I'm going to show you with this generation the blessings that are going to take place when you cross that river of uncertainty, that flowing, raging Jordan River, trusting me that I'm going to lead you across there. Who led the nation of Israel out of Egypt? Who is the shepherd that leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Who is it that leads us beside still waters when our hearts are churning, just like that Jordan River? Our hearts are churning. We don't know which way to turn, but we know that we've got a problem. And then God will humble us if we're willing, and we turn to him, and we will see and can see. Jesus Christ is there all the time. In fact, you remember back in chapter 1 of Joshua, Joshua was getting ready, and he was following Moses. You know, that would be like me following Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or somebody here. So, you got to be kidding me. Well, he was. And so he was a human being, and he was going to lead the nation. He was going to replace Moses as the leader. And he had those feelings, those qualms. And then one day as he was praying, he looked up and he saw a man. And he said, "Are you with me or are you against me?" He said, "Neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army." I want to tell you, we are the army of the Lord today. You and I are the army of the Lord. We are to do battle with the evil that's surrounding us. And we are to do it in the power of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. And God says, "I am your commander. I'm your commander as an army of a church. I'm your commander as the army of a family. I'm your commander as the army of your nation. I'm your commander as an individual soldier fighting for me." And sometimes our fighting is reduced because of things, because of circumstances. Our fighting is reduced simply to be a prayer warrior. Why do we call it a prayer warrior? Because it's part of being in the army of Almighty God. And it is prayer warriors that keep the soldiers on the front lines. I hate to tell this war story. No, I don't hate to tell this war story. I was talking with somebody just a few weeks ago and mentioned Vietnam, and I said, well, when I was in Vietnam, I served in General Patton's son's regiment, the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. And I said, if I'd ever have to go to war again, I would want General Patton's son to be my leader, to be my regimental commander. Because he had a philosophy that was implemented that if one of his soldiers or one of his units got into trouble, he would turn that entire regiment upon that enemy to get that unit out of trouble or to help that unit win the battle. And this is what God is. You don't ever have to fear the battle you've been, emotional, physical, the uncertainties of what's tomorrow going to bring. Because we have this commander who's willing to turn the resources of heaven upon your situation. This is not a feel-good message. It's a message of truth. I may share with you an uncertainty that I have standing here right now at the end of this message. Some of you know what it is because I shared it with you before I came in here today. Heartbreak for Christians that are standing on the edge of blessing. And I think we've seen it. So if you want to have this confident of being able to cross your raging river, whatever that form that may be, there's three crucial things that you and I have to do. And I'll cover these relatively quickly. But number one, crossing a river of uncertainty, there in your outline. We sing, "Focus your eyes on Jesus." Well, focus your eyes on Jesus, but don't just focus your eyes on Jesus. Don't just look at Jesus. Focus your eyes on Jesus like a laser beam, like a laser light. My eyes are on Jesus, and I don't care what's happening around me. I'm totally focused on Him. And nothing or anyone is going to take my focus off of Jesus, just like a laser. And listen, that's what he said there in verse 4. Listen, the key to fording the river of impossibility is to having that confidence. I'm going to say it again. The key to fording your river of uncertainty is to have that confidence. It may be a river that you say, that's impossible. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. Well, focus your eyes on Jesus, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And I just want to tell you, I'm praying for some impossible situations right now. I just prayed for an impossible situation in my life, in my thoughts, that America would humble themselves and turn and be healed. I don't think they will. I don't think we will. I think God will come back for His church before that ever takes place. Just my humble opinion. If it was just one thing that we had to repent of, it would be a possibility. Or two things, or three things, or four or five. But where are we today? At the end of 2023, going into tomorrow. We sing, turn our eyes on Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory, His grace. Well, the next time we sing that, you just imagine it. You're focusing on Jesus' eyes. I believe that's what's going to happen when we face Jesus Christ in heaven. I think we're going to see His eyes. I think we're going to see that love. Maybe the nail-scarred hands. Certainly when we fall on our face, we're going to see the nail imprints in His feet. So focus on this one that's our shepherd. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. Secondly, let me just say that Jesus is our ark of God's presence. You know, the ark of the covenant is mentioned 10 times in Joshua chapter 3. Don't count them now. Count them after the service. But 10 times he's mentioning the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a gold-plated box that represented what? It represented the power of the presence of God. I want to say that again. The Ark of the Covenant, Jesus, God inspired this word, Moses, to write this book of Joshua. And in this one chapter, he mentioned the Ark, which they knew what the Ark meant. Both the first generation and second generation and those who have followed, even up until this time. It's the power, the presence of Almighty God. And we have the power and the presence of Almighty God living in us and with us right now at this very moment. And sadly, multitudes of Christians come right to the borderline of that blessing. And they either turn or they stay and they continue to contemplate. And we know that when you stay and contemplate, you start drifting back and back and back. So pretty soon, Satan has used circumstances to convince you that it's okay, you're still saved. You don't have to do anything for God. You're okay. And all the while, Jesus is saying, no, you're not okay. You're not. He said this to the nation of Israel time after time after time. Until one day he said, enough is enough. You know, Jesus is our faithful God, and he leads us into the new and yet the uncertain new year. He is. He's our God. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, they have stood there all day waiting, meaning the nation of Israel. If they had stood there all day waiting, if they had not stepped out by faith and put their feet in the Jordan, nothing would have happened. Think about this. God waited 39 years for the second generation of Israel to be willing to come to the River Jordan and cross into the promised land. He waited 39 years. What does that mean to you and to me? God will wait for a period of time for us to cross that Jordan. And all the time, He'll be giving us guidance. All that time, the Holy Spirit, for those of us who are Christians, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us, speaking through the Word, but speaking through that movement in our heart that we just know that God's wanting us to do something, or that something isn't right. And how often we come to new experiences with God, and He patiently waits, and He waits, and He waits. And I'm wondering, those number of times that I've waited and waited and waited. And you know, in the Baptist faith, maybe in the other faith, sometimes we say, well, we've got to pray about it. Jesus told Joshua, don't pray about it. You go into the promised land. Sometimes when God puts it on our heart, He doesn't want us to pray about it. He wants to move. He wants us to move. Most of the time, it's for our very best. All the time, it's for our very best. But sometimes it's protect us. Move, move, do this. I know what's coming your way. Move now. In this other direction. Not the way you thought you were going to go, but the way I want you to go. And so He patiently waits for us to get our feet wet. Just get our feet wet. You've heard me say this a million times, for those of you who have been here and have heard me. He's waiting for that first step. Just that first step. It's dark. The river's dark. The river's raging. The valley of the shadow of death is real. Everything in this world and everybody is telling you, do not take that step. It's impossible. And God says, I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. When you take that step, I'll show you that that step led to thousands of blessings, to power, to peace, to grace. We sang Amazing Grace. The chains are gone. Some of us need our chains gone. Some of us are changed by what's happening around us. And some of us need, when those chains are released, we need to focus on Jesus Christ like a laser. So the third is that Jesus is our pathway through those obstacles, the problems and the impossibilities. You know, there was a song called The Bridge Over Troubled Water. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ does not lead us over troubled water. And we see this here. What's He do? He leads us through that troubled water, through the valley of the shadow of death, through that doctor's office that says, I'm sorry, there is no hope, through that funeral home. Wherever it is, God leads us through that. The shepherd hasn't changed. He's still the shepherd. And He's going to lead us in our pathway right through the middles of the waters of adversity. I wish I could go around some of the adversity. So do you. Some of you are in adversity right now, and you'd give anything if you could just go around it, or if it would end. Whatever the challenges or the problems are going to be for you in 2024, we're going to face, I believe with all my heart, a dangerous current of pressing problems, a dangerous current of obstacles, maybe human obstacles, maybe physical obstacles, maybe be obstacles of our own creation. Maybe obstacles because we were so comfortable, we let Satan to attack us, and guess what? We fell. Whatever that may be. But Jesus is saying, move forward. Move forward. Continue on. Walk in the water. Maybe you ought to remember this. Maybe this is just a throwaway phrase here in my message. When you're facing that tide, that insurmountable possibility, maybe you could just think, walk in the water. walk in the water and see what I will do. Why? Why? Because on the other side of that water is the blessing. It's not on this side. It's not on this side for Joshua, and it's not on this side for us. Not when God's trying to take us somewhere. Wanting to take us somewhere. Secondly, keep your life clean and set apart for God's use. Keep your life clean and set apart. Look at verse 5 in our text. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what? He'll do wonders among you. Step in the water, brothers and sisters in Christ. God's word says he will do wonders for you. Among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they did. They took the Ark of the Covenant and they went into the water. And they went before the people. If you're leading a military expedition in Joshua's day, what would Joshua perhaps told them before the next day when they were going to go into the promised land? Would he have said, make your sword sharpen? Make sure your shield is oiled against those flaming arrows? Make sure your helmet is in good order. Get those straps on there right so it doesn't fall off in the midst of battle. I don't think he may have said that, but you know what I think he said? Get yourselves right spiritually. Get yourself. Make sure you are right spiritually. For tomorrow, I'm going to lead you into the nation that God has promised, into that promised land. And I think that's what God says for us sometimes. We know we're to have on the full armor of God. We know that. Paul says that. Put on the full armor of God. But sometimes we need to be spiritually prepared for whatever it is that God may bring our way. You know, that word consecrate means set your life apart for God's use. You know, I think there's times in our walk with the Lord, especially when you got a long walk, more like a marathon, that we got to reconcentrate. We got to give our lives to God again and say, God, there's some junk that got in my life. And I just want you to clean me out again. And that leads me to the next point. God, get rid of all the junk taking up space and weight in your life. You have any junk in your life that's taking up space in your life? Whatever this junk is, it's consuming your time. It's consuming your thoughts. It's consuming your peace where you want to sleep and get some rest. Or it may be some junk that's just weighing you down. It's just weighing you down. You know, if you ever see, and I know you have, when you see soldiers going into combat, they are so loaded down. I couldn't be in the Army today. That's why I flew, because I couldn't carry some of those infantry packs. They're bigger than I am. But you know what they do when they get into a fight? They throw all that stuff aside. They pick up their weapon. And they go right against the enemy. We have a lot of Christians who are carrying so much junk around, and God says, why don't you hear me say this when we come up to pray? Let your junk, let that backpack, whatever it is that you've carried in here today, just let it here, leave it here. Let God take care of it. It's the same thing the nation of Israel has experienced. I want you to turn very quickly to Colossians. We're almost out of time, but Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and listen to verse 5. Paul talking to the church at Colossae. And he said, and this is so important for us, wherever you are right now. He said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What's earthly in you? What is earthly in you? Anger? Fear? Uncertainty. He says, Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexually immoral, immorality, impurity, passion or lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Don't miss that. And these you too once walked. See, we did. We once walked there. But we're not to walk in there anymore. We're to take that backpack off and all that junk off, and we're to left it behind. And when, in verse 7, in these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This is what God wants us to do. Get rid of the junk. Consecrate yourselves. Give it up. Repent of your sin. And do it immediately so that we can cross that promised land. You're not going to cross your river with confidence if you're holding on to something in your life, especially sin in your life. Friend, get rid of the junk, the anger and the rage and the hard feelings and the gossip and profanity and the critical spirit in your life. Get rid of it. It's so important. Overcome uncertainty with discipline and consistent reading and meditating on God's word. When I was writing that, I wrote that intentionally the way I just said it. Overcome uncertainty with discipline. If you don't have discipline, you're not going to overcome uncertainty. If you are going to begin this new year with your Bible study plan and you aren't disciplined, that Bible study plan is you're going to miss 1 day or 2 days or then 4 days or 1 week or 2 weeks, and then it gets easy and you're just going to forget that whole plan. Doesn't that happen sometimes? Listen, only the blood of Jesus can wash away sin. But it's the word of God that keeps us clean. This is our cleansing agent right here. This is our ever-present help. This is our wisdom. This is our peace in place of anger. This is our confidence in the case of wavering. And God graciously gave this to us. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he said, don't let this book of the law do what? Depart from your mouth. He didn't say, don't let this book of the law depart from your home or your car. He said, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. When you have been ambushed by something, you don't have time to pray about it. You don't have time to think about it. What you need to do is what they do in combat in an ambush. You go right against that ambush. You go right against them. We go right against them with the word of God. My God will meet all my circumstances according to his glory. And when we're quoting God to ourselves, we're not focusing on Satan. We're focusing on that one who is going to fulfill that promise to get us across. Move forward. Keep moving forward one step at a time into that personal river of uncertainty. And listen, the last point I want to make. Without taking that decisive first step, you'll never know God's power. You'll never know God's promise. And you'll never know God's presence. You won't. You won't. And this is huge. Jordan was at the border. Or the nation of Israel was at the Jordan River, right at the border. Again, on the other side was a promise. Coming down there from Mount Hermon, where the Jordan River begins, the raging water, they see the promised land. Sometimes we see the promised land. We imagine the promised land for our life. But we're standing on that border and we say, I don't know how we can do this, God. And we don't do it. And then there are others who do it. They say, I retire. I'm leaving this profession as a military soldier and I'm coming in to this profession in the army of God as a private. God, just make me a private. And God did. And God has blessed me. The land of the future were the experiences of God's promises. Tomorrow is our future. I told you I was going to share an uncertainty with you. And I can't capture the depth of this. I was running really hard yesterday, but I did not run the cold. I got a cold that brought me to my knees. I have been coughing and sneezing all night. My wife right now is praying for me. I told her this morning, I said, my backup is gone. Our missions director is no longer here. There's nothing I can do. There is absolutely no way I can preach today. I called Sherry and David this morning. I texted them about 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. I said, David, Sherry, put some songs in there, more songs in there. I don't think I can do this. Constant, all the way up from Missouri City to here, cough, 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 sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. Drink water, mints, cough drops, they're all here. How many times have I coughed here since I began this message? Brothers and sisters in Christ, and you know what I told Pat? God knows that there's people here today that need a word from Him. And God is going to preach, not me. Brothers and sisters, I'm dead serious about this. This was God. Praise God. And He'll do the same for you. That's who He is. It's who He is. Would you pray with me? Lord, our Heavenly Father, You are amazing. You've amazed me, and I know there was some doubt, a lot of doubt in my heart this morning. No doubt about this message, Lord. But there was doubt whether I could do it. And You said, You're right, You can't, but I can. Lord, You're saying that to so many of Your children. No, You can't do it. The mountain's too high. The river's too raging. The valley's too dark. But I can do it. Or there may be someone here this morning who needs to take that first step into salvation. The salvation of repentance. The first step off of that wide road that leads to hell for eternity, ever and ever. That first step that leads to that narrow road that leads to a life of blessing upon blessing upon blessing for all eternity. Oh God, if there's someone here, someone online that is absolutely not certain, they have doubts about whether they're saved. God, I pray that right now they're crying out to You in that still small voice. Maybe it's loud in their heart as they're crying out in their heart, save me, Jesus. He's talking about me. And I want to be saved. I want to begin this next year, whatever it may bring, God. I want You to walk with me. I want You to live in me. I want You to forgive me of my sin. Lord, there's some things I'm trying to leave behind, but Lord, that addiction, that sin is just, it's so hard, God. But I'm trusting You, Father. I'm asking You right now at this moment, save me. And I believe because of faith, I believe that You have done that based on what I've heard, that You keep Your promises. And so, Father, I just want to praise You for that person or persons who have made that commitment, that confident commitment to face 2024, not as lost, not somebody that's in the Satan's army, somebody that's now in the Lord's army. Lord, I know that You will make it so clear to them. And Father, there may be someone here this morning. We're going to stand in just a moment. know what we're going to sing to you, but this is your invitation. God, it's not mine anymore, and this message was mine, God. Don't let someone stand at the brink of a blessing and say maybe next week, maybe another time. God, don't let that happen. Not here today. And Father, if there's a person that's looking for a church home, looking for a place where they can be loved and will be loved, a place where the Word of God will be shared with them, a place where they can serve in the Lord's army, maybe as a private, maybe a sergeant, an officer, who knows, God, what you have planned for us. And Father, I pray that they know that our arms and our hearts are open to them, not only to allow them or to welcome them in, but to walk with them, to cry with them, to pray with them, to laugh with them, to fellowship with them. Father, whatever this is your invitation again. God, I cannot emphasize enough, Lord, what you want to do on the other side of that first step. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us in the invitation this morning?